Periphery, No Labels. Written by Kitsune Rei 88 and read by Corey Cathonia. As part of Pod Together 2023. Rated for general audiences and no archive warnings apply. For the fandom of Tortall by Tamora Pierce. Featuring the relationship of Domitan of Maspol, Cladry of Mindelan. With the additional tags, post-canon, getting together, and ambiguous relationships. 1. The gates of Steadfast rose before them. Thick wooden pillars lashed together with magic-hardened rope and reinforced at the base with stone. A thankful sight, given the cold winds that had blasted them all the way from New Haven. Never had it been clearer that they were in the north of Tordal, and they weren't likely to head back to Corus this season either. The hostilities were dying down, had been since her foray into Scanra, but in many ways this could be the most dangerous time. The Scanrans were desperate, and desperate men did unexpected things. "Thank the goddess," Neil grumbled beside her, pulling his cloak tighter around himself as he looked up at the walls. "I could do with a hot fire, warm soup, and a seat. Even if it's a hard wooden one. I hope Yuki is warm enough." "The Isles are further north than here," Kel replied in amusement, as the guard confirmed their identities and let them and their party through the gate. "And the Deo Mori holdings are in one of the northern islands. Yuki probably thinks it's quite pretty. The snow swirling in the air, the music of the wind."
"The winds are howling, Kel, not singing a hymn," Neil retorted.
Then he brightened as Yuki hurried out of the inner keep.
"I'll leave you to it," Kel replied hastily, swinging herself out of her saddle and handing the reins to Tobe. The boy was already rolling his eyes, a sentiment that Kel wholeheartedly agreed with given the dramatic mooning she'd been subjected to the last few weeks and the entire ride here. While Kel was happy for her best friend, she'd be happier to let him reunite with his betrothed without her presence. In any case, the hot fire, warm soup, and a seat did sound lovely, so she swiped Neil's report from his saddlebag and added it to her own.
"I'll go drop off our reports."
Neil didn't hear her, and Kel didn't really expect him to, so she nodded at Tobe, who waved her off, and went. After that, it was the kitchens for a bowl of soup and a bun fresh from the oven, and a seat in front of the roaring fire.
"I heard that you'd come in," a familiar voice said, and Dom fell into the seat across from her. His dark hair was plastered to his head, beads of melting snow dotting his curls, and clothes were still damp from the outdoors. Still, he stretched out his legs beside her, utterly relaxed, and Kel enjoyed the sight. Dom had always filled out his tunic nicely. "How is Meathead?"
"He's getting married. How do you think?"
Dom snorted a laugh. "So, he's insufferable." Kel tilted her head this way and that, looking for the words to say what she meant. Neil was her best friend, and he hadn't been insufferable. But he'd been something.
"Eh," she settled on saying eventually, tearing off a part of the bun to dip into her soup.
Dom laughed then, low and amused. "So he was insufferable."
"I didn't say that."
"But only because you're too polite to say it." Kel didn't dignify that with a response, mopping up more of her soup with the bun.
"How was your patrol?" she asked, gesturing at his dress. "Looks like you just got back in yourself."
"Patrol was fine," Dom replied with a small shrug. "I think the Scanrans are just about done. Most of them have gone home. At this point, it's just stragglers."
Lord Rowell is considering rotating some of us back to Chorus for a few weeks. It's a long journey, but for 2 weeks there, some of us would consider it worth it. You?
Kel shook her head.
I couldn't, anyway. The refugees don't have anywhere to go, and New Haven still doesn't have adequate protection. The commanders are staying in the north, and that means so am I.
I thought as much. Dom smiled, and even if it didn't melt her heart the way it did when she was a squire, it was a near thing indeed.
I might stay as well, though I haven't decided yet.
What would be worse, a freezing winter or matchmaking mothers?
It's not that cold, Kel said, rolling her eyes. And you're a second son. I thought you avoided the matchmaking.
Not as well as I'd like, and exactly my thought.
Dom grinned.
It's always good to see you, Kel.
2. The war ended. It was a long, drawn-out end. It didn't happen that season, or even the next, when Kel stayed in the north. But it ended. A peace treaty signed at Fraserland with little fanfare, and the troops went home. The troops, that was, except for Kel. The war had ended, but for her refugees, it wasn't over. It would never be over. Their home fiefs, the lands that had seen serious fighting, hadn't recovered. And many of their lords simply didn't want them back. The war had ended, but her refugees still didn't have anywhere to go. 4 years in, many of them had made homes in New Haven and in the Greenwoods Valley. It was with that in mind that Kel had ridden to Chorus. Something had to be done about it, and preferably that something didn't involve displacing her people yet again from the place they had made theirs. She was here to secure protection for them, though there was also the matter of the summons back to Chorus, which she couldn't ignore any longer. Still, she had to admit that the prospect of seeing her friends was an added bonus. Neil had returned to Chorus months ago, healers and midwives among the refugees, trained and running the infirmary. Lord Rowell would be in too, since Third Company had returned to Chorus a month ago. Dom would be around, and it had been too long since she'd seen any of them. It was with a sense of surprise that she was directed to a set of rooms more appropriate for a lord than a knight, including a private sitting room for guests, alongside a bedroom and dressing room. She was even housed beside other lords, though thankfully she wasn't far from Lord Rowell's rooms. She would have found it altogether too uncomfortable otherwise. It was when she was unpacking her meager bags when Dom appeared at her door. His hair and beard were newly trimmed, and he was in a form-fitting tunic that looked altogether too formal for everyday wear. Kel didn't bother hiding the once-over she gave him. "Being forced to a ball?" she asked, raising an eyebrow. "You always did clean up nicely." Dom gave her a suspicious-looking grin. Too wide, too delighted. "Nothing like that," he said cheerfully. "A formal dinner to celebrate the end of the war, and there's no force involved." "Oh?" Kel's eyebrow went higher. Dom was no Lord Rowell, hiding in the curtains, but she knew well he still avoided formal events. An advantage of being a younger son, he'd always said. There was no need for him to play games of etiquette and politics if he didn't want to. Dom didn't explain further. And most regrettably for her, he wasn't Neil. Neil would have spilled it after a few minutes of silence, simply because he was compelled to fill the silence. Dom merely winked at her and made a motion of sealing his mouth shut. "You should dress for dinner," he said instead, still grinning like a madman. "You're expected. The royals are going to be present. It's a recognition for our service. There are going to be awards." "Joy," Kel replied sourly, being not in the mood for a formal event on the eve of her arrival. Then she sighed and looked for appropriate clothes. At dinner, Cal was seated uncomfortably close to the head table, but she didn't think too much about it since she was seated with Rall, Burry, and the other commanders for the Scanran War. The food was excellent, the speeches expected and largely passable, and Cal clapped politely as the king began awarding gold purses for exceptional service. Dom won one of those, as did Neil, Vanget, Raoul, Lord Weldon, Alana, and 100 others. And then her name was called. She wasn't a young girl anymore, fighting to be allowed the chance to train to be a knight. She wasn't a page, working three times as hard to be accepted. Enough had happened as a squire, and then a knight, for Kel to know that, as the names counted down, hers would eventually come up. She had had a command post in the Scanran War, and everyone who had a command post had won a purse. Her name was going to come up, and she took the time to formulate her thanks, which would be routine and almost identical to Rao's.
"Finally," the king said, magic projecting his voice throughout the grand ballroom, "to Caladri of Mandalan."
Kel stood, as 100 had before her, approached the royal dais, and knelt.
"There are a few acts of service that can clearly be said to change the course of a war," the king said. "But on orders, Lady Knight Caladri of Mandalan took a small force of soldiers, sacked Castle Rathasac, and killed the mage creating the magical instruments that so threatened our borders. If any action can be viewed as deciding a war, it is hers, and the reward must be commensurate with the service. At the same time, as Lady Knight Caladri advises us in her reports, the after effects of the war linger for too many people. Too many homes have been destroyed, and too many people made refugees. To great service comes great reward. Therefore, to Lady Knight Caladri of Mandalan, and to her heirs henceforth, I create and grant the Barony of New Haven, her former refugee camp, and with it the Greenwoods Valley. Congratulations and rise, Baroness Caladri of New Haven. May your land serve you well."
Kel couldn't help looking up in shock. Her legs moved automatically following orders, while a storm of clapping and cheering, not unfamiliar, after both becoming a squire and then becoming a knight, filled the chamber.
"Thank you, Your Majesty," she fumbled out, the words seeming rote and inadequate. "But the honor of service was mine."
That wasn't the only surprise. When she turned around, Dom and Neil were holding a shield, their faces lit with identical, maniacal grins. The Mandalan owl had been shrunk and flew now above three tall pine trees, with her crossed naginatas forming a part of the distaff border.
"Congratulations," Dom whispered in her ear. The words meant only for her, while Neil yelled for her to try her new shield for everyone to see.
3.
Baroness Caladri of New Haven felt strange. Stranger than Lady Knight Caladri had ever felt. The title and fief did thankfully come with a large purse, one that Kel spent immediately on shoring up the defenses of New Haven, which morphed into her main keep while her people spread out of the walls into homes that scattered throughout in the abundant Greenwoods Valley. The years passed, and the title wore in through sheer repetition. It never felt quite right, until one day, some 5 years later, she realized that it didn't feel wrong either, and then she gave up and let it be. It was what it was, and she was far too busy to worry about it. A fief was work, and that work didn't end. Lord Raoul retired from the king's own 10 years later, and Kel found herself only busier when she was named as the Lady Knight Commander of the King's Own.
She tried begging off, only for the king to give her a 6-month reprieve to train someone to manage her fief, and then she was in chorus most of the year. The main good thing, she supposed, was that Dom had been named second in command a few years earlier, when Flinden Whitehead had retired from the own. She and Dom had remained friends for years, always catching up when Kel was in chorus or when he and the king's own passed through New Haven. It had always been something to look forward to, an easy evening or two of memories and laughter. Working closely didn't change that. If anything, it made their relationship stronger, and there didn't pass a day when Kel and Dom didn't see each other and talk, not even when Dom was formally on leave. They often went on leave at the same time, and he more often returned to New Haven than he did to Maspole. No one asked, and they didn't feel the need to explain. She and Dom were like well-maintained spellwork. Easy. And it was no one's business but their own. 4. Kel, Dom said, looking at her one morning. He had been chewing on something in his mind for a while. Over their years together, it was an expression Kel had learned to read. She hadn't pushed because she knew that Dom would tell her his thoughts when he was ready. In many ways, Dom was a lot like Neil, if considerably more muted. He wasn't as sarcastic, but he carried something of the same silliness with him. He didn't always like to be thought of as serious, but neither was he allergic to it. As the second in command of Third Company, he was an effective leader, but privately he was prone to jokes and laughter. The years had been kind to him, or perhaps it was simply that Kel knew him better and knew him differently. The crush she'd had as a squire had long since faded, in truth gone even before the end of the Scanron War, and in its place was something considerably more mature. There was a camaraderie, an alliance, a silent and unspoken agreement that they'd always be there for each other, and that was that. His dark hair had picked up threads of silver, and lines had been carved in his face. Kel knew that the same held true for her. "Yes," Kel said, looking up from her supply reports. Third Company was well provisioned, and while they could be sent out at any time, she didn't think they would be for at least 2 months. First Company was rotating out in their stead. "I'm considering..." He paused, and then he sighed. "I'm considering retiring from the own. I've been in a quarter century, Kel, and it's time." "I know," Kel replied simply. Dom had served more years in the own than most. Most of her men, and women now, though the women were still few, stayed around 10 years, but it wasn't uncommon to stay for 20. More than 20, however, was rare. More than that, Dom had been tiring more easily in the past couple years, the long hours of riding and training wearing on him. "It's okay, Dom." "I don't like to leave you," Dom said, but Kel stopped him by placing a hand on his arm. "Navin of Aspenvale has been trained for years," she reminded him, because he had taken the time to train someone to take his place. "He's ready."
"I know, but..."
Dom grimaced. Kel grinned.
"I'm still a knight. I know which end of my sword to hold."
"I never doubted that."
Dom laughed, and the sound was lighter and easier than Kel had heard for some time. He had been worrying over it.
"Really?"
He was lying, but Kel didn't comment. If he hadn't been lying, he would have retired months ago.
"What will you do?"
"I'm not sure yet."
Dom's smile faded. "I could go back to Maspole. I'll have to, for a visit at least, and then I have savings." She knew he did, but there was no need for him to dip into them. "You're always welcome at New Haven," she said, looking back down at the supply report. "Always. Make your home with us." She didn't look up, but she didn't need to know that he was smiling again. 5. Caladri of Mindelan and Domitan of Maspol were friends, and they had been for decades. Since Kel was a squire, through the Scanran War, and through years of peace. Then, in the King's Own, they were the Lady Knight Commander and the Captain of Third Company, and they were partners, allies, comrades in arms. It was hard to describe the relationship they'd had in the Own. But it was not merely friends, and something more than friends, even before they became definitively more than friends. And then, after Dom's retirement and his subsequent move to New Haven, Kel supposed that it was inevitable that someone would eventually ask. "The crops have been better than average this year," Dom was saying over the dinner table, spooning some carrot turnip mash onto his plate. "With the excess, we'll be able to pay a mage to redo the north wall in stone." "But there is the community hall in the village as well," Kel pointed out, breaking off a piece of bread to dip in the juices of the rabbit they'd caught earlier that day. "I'd like to reinforce the walls there. In the event of an attack, they could hole up there if they couldn't make the castle." Dom grimaced. "Even if they did, they'd be rats trapped in a barrel in the event of an attack, stuck until we could sally out to rescue them." "Better that than being harmed because they couldn't make the castle." Kel sighed, fiddling with her eating knife. "I don't know. I'd like to have the rest of our walls redone in stone as one complete job, rather than doing it piecemeal, though I know it will take us years of good harvest to save enough for it. We have a respectable fortress as it is, and meanwhile, the extra money could do good in the village." Neil, a frequent visitor to New Haven, was watching the exchange as if it were a sparring match, his eyes flickering from one to the other of them. Kel supposed that the person who would ask about them would inevitably be Neil. "So," he said finally, setting down his own eating knife, "the two of you..." She and Dom exchanged a look. Dom's eyebrows were quirked in amusement, and Kel hid a smile. She knew, without him having to say anything, that she could say what she wanted, and he wouldn't interfere. Similarly, she knew that he did know what she had in mind, and fully supported her. "The two of us?" Kel asked, turning to Neil with the most Yamani blank-faced expression she could manage. Neil scowled. "You're living together, talking about the seasonal crops." "That we are." "And..." Neil waved his hands. The years had not dimmed his dramatics. "You're together? Are you marrying? What next?" Kel set her knife down beside her dinner plate. "Why does it matter? We're comfortable with what we are. Shouldn't that be enough?" The end.